Hi, everybody. Dr. Tom Hansen here, and I'm happy to have my guest, Alan Jaeger, out in California. Where exactly are you?
I'm technically in Encino, but basically I'm in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I've admired Alan's work for quite a few years, certainly heard of you a long time ago, but never had a chance to speak with you until yesterday. So it was fun catching up here. We just spent 45 minutes talking before we even got started with this. So we decided to see if we could put down something useful for this people in this course. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And so I've certainly always known you as a mental game guy, but always curious as to all your arm strength too, and long toss and bands and so forth. So what I like about you and why we're even talking is because the focus of this program, the Baseball Success Secrets, is really integration. That yes, I'm a mental game guy, and I put a huge emphasis on that, as does the course. But it's not all what it is. I'll sometimes say, well, a great mental game will get you to third base, but that doesn't change the score. You know, there's more to it. And so what's real clear to me always is that you have a very integrated approach as well. You have to, or you wouldn't be into the things that that I see when I see things from you. So if you would, give us a little bit of background how you came to be at the philosophy that you have.
Well, first of all, I'll just try to be as brief as I can, but I graduated from Cal State Northridge, where I was a pitcher, and my junior year in college, what really happened to get my path started, I had no clue I was going to get into anything in dealing with the mental game. My goal was to be a baseball player, period, and went through a really tough time mentally, and it affected me. It basically shut my season down, and essentially, you can say it really ended my career, and which, you know, was a blessing. It got me where I'm at now, and it's just where I was meant to be. But the short of it is that I really struggled, and I had no clue. I had no skill set. I had no direction. I mean, obviously, at some point, I did see a sports psychologist, which back in 1986, I think was pretty rare. But I was really lucky. I got a great guy, and he, you know, he did some great things with me, and so it got me really interested in what happened to me, and then how did I get, you know, how did I deal with it? And so I started pursuing the mental game, and I got my BA in psychology, and really in my undergraduate work, I got turned on to Zen and the Far East. And so not too long after that, I ended up writing a book. And so my path really was strongly into the mental game, but all the while I was still in the game as a coach. I was a pitching coach for basically 4 years at a junior college, and so basically I kind of merged the whole idea of being a pitching coach, big into the mental game. I eventually studied yoga, and then lastly, because of my background just as a pitcher and someone who loved to throw, I was always a huge long toss guy, and so I kind of took the long toss program, got into some surgical tubing as a prerequisite to throwing, and before you knew it, I had a program. And so that's, I guess, the shortest way I can go through the last 20 years.
Yeah, and you've got your own place. How does that work? You have your own training facility?
Well, what we've done forever, I have a full-time partner now named Jim Vatcher, who was actually a teammate at Cal State Northridge, and he ended up playing professionally for about 15 years. So he's highly involved with me at this point. And so I've always used facilities. For instance, we have a local junior college, Pierce Junior College, here in Woodland Hills. And so we use that to run our camps, and I did my private work out there. Now there's this place down by L.A. where Jim does his private work. And as far as mental training, I had an office for many, many years, so I would basically see clients in the office. And as you know, if there comes a point where you can do the work over the phone now. And so basically, yeah, we have satellite places where people come and train with us. But nowadays, as you know, you can do it. I mean, you can do it through Skype.
I know. Right? It's crazy. So what have you come to in terms of the big picture? Like, what does a player have to do to make it to whatever the next level is for them?
Well, I mean, I think, as you know, there's several areas, but I think that the key areas is that one is that they're hard workers and they do all the basic things that everybody has to do, and there's passion behind that. But secondly, and probably most importantly to me, because most players in this day and age, I've found with all the great coaching and teaching out there, and the internet and what have you, and all these showcases, you know, the average player works hard. They have to, because so many kids are seeking such few positions. So I find that the physical training, for the most part, is great, and that includes stuff off the field. You know, all this new stuff with core training, and kids are eating better at a younger age. I think they're more aware of alcohol and getting their rest. So the mental game becomes to me even more important, because it's an area that, as we know, is to me it's a game changer. I use the analogy a lot of you can have all this talent and all this hard work, but if you don't have the key to start the engine of the car, like you said earlier about getting to third base, it's great to get to third base, you know, with all your talents, but if you don't have something to get you to home plate, it's a very frustrating experience for a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I find the mental game is really becoming more and more valuable. And then kind of lastly is more of the body and the yoga. I mean, I feel like yoga is great because it's integrating the physical and the mental. And so I find that even though yoga is very popular in the mainstream, and it's gotten a lot more popular in baseball, I still find that the average baseball player could improve so much dramatically from that great cross integration of physical, mental, spiritual, all happening at once. And that's such a huge part of our angle as well.
Got it. So that's one thing I'm drawn to. I don't know, people may or may not know that I'm actually certified as a yoga teacher. I don't do that, but I had a real bout there where I was really intensely into it and do some pretty much every day now myself, but not really the yoga practice that I know is so great. And so let's look at that to see, like, if someone wanted to do maybe take one thing, like a standing forward bend, like if you just stand up. Well, you could talk him through it, but or if you'd rather pick a different one, but like what would you emphasize while someone is stretching? Well, they would just say, hey, stretch your hamstrings. What would be some of the main points that would be emphasized there that you feel help people with their baseball and not just be a nice exercise?
Well, it's really ironic, or as you know, not so ironic, that you mentioned that very, very basic concept of just stretching forward, because to me it's actually one of my favorite poses. It's called Uttanasana, and in layman's terms, it just means you reach your arms up and you grab both elbows, you know, and then you bend, and you know this pose, and then you bend at the knees, and then you actually just do a forward bend, and your elbows now are basically working toward the ground. And the reason I love this pose, it's a great example of how a very simple physical stretch has unlimited benefits. For one, because you're doing this forward bend, yes, you're getting a great stretch in the hamstrings, your calves. In fact, I was doing it this morning before you called. But another reason I like it is because, as you know, with yoga, one of the most important principles that I've learned in yoga is the importance of inversions and getting energy to move downward toward the skull and to allow the brain to, quote-unquote, you know, get some energy or get some oxygen to it. And so I feel like anytime you get a chance to do some inversions, it tends to really clear the mind. It tends to bring vitality to the body, or energy, if you will, to the body, because you're taking a lot of potentially stuck energy from, you know, standing upright all day long, or, you know, all life long, and all of a sudden you're flipping the energy the opposite way. And in yoga also, it's important to get your vital organs, per se, in the center of your body to get upside down and have a chance to get oxygen in there and clean out as well. So a simple yoga pose, that's as we talked about earlier, can be so cross-integration into so many parts of an athlete, whether it's the physical stretching, the cleaning out of the body, so to speak, or get more better circulation, the clearing out of the mind per se. I mean, what athlete doesn't want a clearer or more relaxed mind?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a neat thing how much you can get from one simple yoga pose.
Right. So that one is standing, feet hip width apart, hands over your head, grabbing your elbows, and bend your knees.
Bend your knees, and also bend your knees slightly. And I always like the analogy of if you put your arm out straight and you barred it out, there's going to tend to be tension in the elbow or the shoulder. For a baseball player, that's not a good thing. So we always tell players when we do these arm circles is bend the elbow like 1 or 2 degrees so there's a little bit of flexion, and so the tension's out of the arm. So similarly, you need to bend the knees. It's better to bend it a little bit too much than not at all, but the idea is to bend the knees a little bit so you take the pressure off the lower back. That's the whole key to bending the knees. There's a fallacy out there about locking the knees and straightening the legs when you do your hamstring stretching, and the way I've trained it and the way I've done it my whole life, and it makes total sense to me instinctively, is you got to bend the knees a little bit so where the hamstring meets the lower back, it's free, it's relaxed. And what you said is very important. Feet are hip distance apart, knees are slightly bent, and it doesn't matter how low you go, it's just about getting that forward bend. And you don't have to grab your elbows. You can just let your hands go to the ground. But if you grab your elbows, puts more there's more leverage. So what it does is it forces you to kind of pull a little bit deeper. So for someone starting out, they might just bring their hands to the floor. The key is to tuck the chin under the chest, and really try to get the head as close to the thighs, or if you're low enough, the knees as possible. So you want that real forward bend with the head coming close to the body.
Right, and then how do you breathe?
From the diaphragm, from the stomach area. As you know, in yoga, the big thing is the diaphragm, the belly, is the center of the wheel. The center of the wheel is what makes the wheel go. So we want to start from the stomach area and try to get the belly to do the breathing. And there's nothing wrong with, we want the belly eventually to go to the mid-chest and the chest. We want the full range of motion, but the idea in yoga is to really learn how to breathe through the belly.
Right, and how does that then translate into playing baseball?
Well, because breathing, I have a lot of metaphors for learning how to breathe through the belly. First of all, the better that you can learn to breathe through the stomach or diaphragm, then the more disbursement of air you're going to get. So the more disbursement of air, the more you're going to have a chance to have oxygen go to all extremities, which is going to give your body a chance to relax better. As we know, tight muscles don't perform as well as relaxed muscles. Symbolically, one of the reasons I love about teaching players about belly breathing is that the stomach is symbolically in the center of the body, which means it's further from your head than your chest, where a lot of people breathe from. So there's a symbolism of by belly breathing that you're actually further from your head, further from your thoughts. So it's another key to me. I'd rather a person know that by breathing through their stomach, their attention is going into the center of their body, which again is a place further from their head and their thinking than their chest. And then lastly, if you're breathing through your diaphragm, chances are your breath is going to be a lot more fuller, fluid, flowing, all those good words, which is kind of the opposite of what happens with people in our society that tend to breathe through the chest. Your chest breathing, as you know, is going to be tense, quicker, shorter, choppier, and metaphorically, your brain and your thoughts are going to probably do the same thing. They're going to be quick, short, tense. So there's several reasons to get that belly to learn how to breathe correctly and to learn to, to get the breath slower and more fuller.
And while I'm hanging upside down here, so I'm breathing and just focus on my belly, and I'm not necessarily trying to push my knees back.
No.
To straighten, to keeping
some,
and then just hang out and watch what happens. I mean, for me, what I noticed there was after just a few seconds, I could feel muscles in my lower back start to let go.
Yes.
And so it's really like you just sit there and like it's a show and watch what happens as your body relaxes or doesn't. But if you keep breathing and you've been telling yourself to relax, you just start to feel different things relax. I do. And that I didn't know were tense. And then I get
awareness.
Up and my head, I do feel my head is fresher. I've got a nice brightness and tingliness in my hamstrings, and lower back is opened up, which is going to help me get down on a ground ball. It's going to help me with every athletic movement that I might have to make.
Well, you're going to be, you know, you're going to run, you're going to have a little more, you're going to run a little more quickly, or be in a better injury preventive mode because your hamstrings are better stretched out. But, you know, it's funny just talking about how one pose metaphorically represents an endless amount of benefits. As you were talking, some other things occurred to me, which is the ability to cross your elbows, you know, grab your elbows, lean forward, bend your knees slightly, and to be there for 30 seconds, well, that for a lot of people, that takes patience. It takes discipline. It takes perseverance. As simple as a stretch can be, the amount of mental skills that can be developed or worked on are just endless, and it's a beautiful concept. So,
yeah.
Again, you know, you have, you know, your listeners just do something as simple as keep their feet hip distance apart, bend their knees, grab their elbows, and just literally bend forward so their chin kind of, you know, starts coming as close toward the thighs or knees as possible. And just to hang there and let, as you said, the awareness of the body stretching itself out, the breath, is it up in the chest or is it in the stomach or is it both? Is it fast? Is it short? You know, is it slow? And this whole awareness, as we talked about earlier before we got on the phone here, about the whole idea of just awareness of how the being in your body can just change the whole way that you look at life or the whole way you perform.
Right.
What a concept to be out of your head. And
I know. I know. It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, see, there's all kinds of things you can watch there. Your breath, your body weight, just look to see what releases, what let go, what starts to bark, you know, what is it? Oh, the pain. And see if you can just look at it and say, wow, that's uncomfortable. And just look at it rather than reacting to it. And also then your thoughts in terms of see if you can keep your focus on these things, or does your mind go to what you're going to have for breakfast or what this girl said or what happened in the game or this is stupid, or just say, wow, look at where my mind is going. I liken it to like being an announcer in a booth watching a game versus being on the field. And there's times to be up in the booth looking at what's going on and saying, wow, look at what just happened.
Yep.
As opposed to being, you know, ah, that hurts, and then you're in the pain of it. See if you can say, wow, look at that feeling, and look at how that, look at how my mind is run over there. And this is all in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, and it's just what you're talking about too is discovery. I mean, you're discovering, am I patient right now? Can I relax, or am I tight, or am I, is my head taking me into 40 different stories, which means that you may be that kind of player on the field. You know, can you be the, and then there's the learning curve. Well, today I did 30 seconds and I was really noisy in my head, and then I'll do a second set, you know, 60 seconds later, and we try it again. And maybe actually half the time I was pretty present. I was pretty focused. I was able to go into the pain and just kind of relax in it. And so, you know, there's gains within a two-minute exercise from 1 minute to the next.
Right. And so you can sit there and use it as a way of getting out of your head, as a way of stretching out and freeing it up so that, as I would look at it in terms of the energy flowing more freely through your body, more relaxed, but also as a bit of a litmus test, like before a game, well, let me see how I am, and bend over. Can you just hear a coach saying, hey, Johnny, you need to go bend over?
Yeah. You forgot to bend, or you forgot to bend over this morning.
So you know, it can, like, tell you where you're at, because just like you said, you're watching, watch your mind. Does it race, or can it sit still? Because when you're hit, you know, who wants a racing mind?
Well, I think it's a great point. It's a litmus test. I think this could be a great, you know, you talk about introducing someone to mental training or a mental training practice. Yeah, you could teach someone to sit in a chair and do some breathing exercises, which ultimately we all know is can be just fantastic and helpful, you know, so helpful. But this is another great litmus test because it's physical too. I mean, to get someone to actually, as you know, this position of Uttanasana, where you're out, you know, where you're hanging, you can also make it quite easy. You don't have to hang so low. But
mm-hmm.
the point is that if you want to challenge yourself a little bit in a very simple stretch, it doesn't take more than about 20 or 30 seconds before gravity starts to pull the elbows down toward the ground. And as you said, you're going to start feeling the stretch. You're going to start feeling possibly being challenged a little bit. But maybe more than anything, you're going to start learning about how patient am I? How relaxed am I? How relaxed am I not? You know, is my mind drifting or is my mind staying in the moment? And it's just endless how many mental skills can literally be worked on and developed in that moment of that physical exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good one. We just kind of made that up. I hadn't used it that way. I don't know if, I mean, you do more of it that way than I do, I think, right now, but that's cool.
Well, traditionally, Tom, just as a quick side note, we had a professional camp for 6 weeks leading into spring training every year for about 15 years, and we've since kind of knocked it down to 2 weeks or what have you. And every single workout we did, we were in a martial arts studio. We did basically 2.5 hours between meditation and yoga. And the yoga was the last thing we did. And when we finished the yoga workout after being in the studio for 2 hours, we brought guys into Uttanasana, which is a very traditional way to end the yoga workout because inversions are a great way to go into your relaxation. And so the short of it is that we'd keep guys in Uttanasana for maybe 2 minutes. And then, by the way, we'd go into another 20, 25 minutes of relaxation. And my partner, Jim Vatcher, who played professionally 15 years, when he started getting into this yoga with me, he would be in his shower. I know that sounds a little a little personal, but he would shower in the morning because, you know, as a professional baseball, you're playing every day. He'd shower in the morning. He would be in the shower after he was done for sometimes 30 minutes in Uttanasana. Because what happened is it went from just feeling good and getting his hammies and getting his calves and getting some critical parts of his body for the day anyway. He was going to stretch at the field anyway, but that was his, you know, this is a guy that was a serious athlete. You know, he took his body very seriously. And so he was getting this great workout. And as we've just talked about, that it evolved into a meditation. It evolved into his time to be quiet. He actually would do some visualization. He'd go over some of the important pitches that he knows he needed to focus on swinging at and some of the pitches he knows that he needed to focus on laying off of. So this became his meditation. And as we talked about earlier, the benefits of inversions is that it's also very it's a very relaxing pose. You're getting, again, oxygen to the brain. So in time, Uttanasana can be really one of the most powerful poses in yoga because it feels so good.
Yeah.
It really does feel good after you get through the part of the hammies maybe being a little bit tight. So
right.
Sort of he turned this one pose into a 30-minute practice basically every day. And it was critical. He became, as he would tell you, a much better player overnight just because of this awareness of this pose.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I feel good. I've been in it, you know, a few minutes here while we've been talking.
Well, if my headset wouldn't fall off, I would be in it right now.
Yeah, mine is tight on. So that's what I propose as a practice of the week is that you bend over.
Just bend over and just enjoy.
Right,
it.
And it's such a thing. I'll need to make a little checklist here so we've got some things to reminders to of what to do with it. And one of which being it shouldn't be painful. People will think of it as like, oh no, that hurts. Well, then back off. There's a comfort zone. I've seen it. You know what I've stolen is the three concentric circles. One in the middle is comfort zone. The next circle is the stretch zone, and the next is pain or danger. And so, yeah, you want to go out of your comfort zone, but go just into stretch, not into pain. If it gets painful, just back off and then breathe and allow yourself to go. But don't have it be some, oh, I can do this, and I can, or, and see if you get competitive. I mean, that was me to the T in the yoga. It's like looking around the room to see if I was, you know, the worst in the class
or
the better, or, you know, I'd be leaking prana looking at some of the other, having all kinds of other thoughts going on and looking around the room. So
you have to explain to people what prana is, though. So
yeah, well, the energy.
Look it up.
Yeah, just the energy. It's a word for energy or life force, or that we're really looking to move. So so this is great. I think it's perfect to leave it this simple. At the same time, it's almost anything but simple once you get into it and start to realize what all is going on. But if you feel, do the pose as described, and then just sit there and breathe and watch, see what happens. And when you feel like coming out, maybe stay for a few more seconds and then come out. Don't make it a painful thing, but do it when you get up, maybe once during the day, and once you go to, when you go to bed. And there's no doubt in my mind that it'll make a difference in your whole day.
It'll make a difference in their day, and it'll definitely make a difference on the field.
Yeah.
And Tom, one last thing. You might, just for the listeners, Uttanasana, I believe it's spelled U-T-T-H, and then it's like A-S-A-N-A. But it's probably, and maybe you can put a link up too, but there probably are endless amounts of demonstrations on YouTube for that
mm-hmm.
pose of Uttanasana. So maybe so the listeners could get a visual of it, they may, you know, just know that word, they can look it up and see the actual demonstration of it, so it might make it a lot easier for them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll come up with stuff and post something on the lesson page here for the week.
Beautiful.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Alan. And where? What's your website?
Website is jagersports.com, which is JAEGER and the word sports.com. And yep, it's the easiest way for them to track us down.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.